Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Quick thank you to our sponsor, GoDaddy, and to share their exciting news about their re-architected managed WordPress platform. Reimagined from the ground up to deliver the benefits of a VPS with the ease and efficiency of managed WordPress. It launched this month, so make sure and go to the GoDaddy blog, check it out, and thanks again to GoDaddy. I'll tell you more about GoDaddy later in the episode, so let's get into the conversation.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Do the Woo. I'm Robbie Adair, one of the co-hosts here with Do the Woo, and I've got a really cool episode today that we're going to be sharing with you guys. I will be co-hosting with Bob himself, Bob WP himself. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I think people are maybe getting a little tired of hearing my voice. I seem to have been in more episodes lately. So I'm glad to have you here and bring in your lovely voice to, you know, kind of balance it out.
Well, thank you. But I don't have quite the radio voice that you do. So I don't think people will complain about hearing your voice again, Bob. So today on this episode, this is a really cool episode, I feel like, because we're going to talk about the makeover that Do the Woo went through, the website. And we'll talk to Bob here in just a second about how he actually got this kicked off. But who did the actual rebuild of the website was the Automatic Special Projects team. And so we have Derek and Katie here from that team. I'll start with Derek. Derek, hey, tell us how things are going and how long have you been with the special team?
Thanks a lot, Robbie. Yeah, so my name's Derek. I've been with the special projects team as a technical account manager for a little over 3 years now.
Awesome. That's a long time.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for having me here today. I also joined the special projects team about a little over 3 years ago. I joined about a month after Derek.
Awesome. And now the special projects team is really large when I look at the website, which if everyone wants to check out the website, it's specialprojects.automatic.com. So you guys are a really big team. How many people are on the team now, approximately?
It's right around 30-ish people, I think. Is that right, Katie?
I think so. Somewhere around there. Yeah, 30.
Cool. And I know that you can't give away all the secrets of how all special projects begin, but we know the story of this special project. So, Bob, tell us what kind of spurred this on? Like, when did you find out you'd be working with the special projects team?
Yeah, well, the context behind it is for about 8 months, I had this vision that kept growing, and I'd look at my existing site, which I'd had for a couple of years, had it redone. And it was really great for what I was doing when I had it done. But then as the site grew and I started getting all these ideas that I did not know how to implement. And I first thought I wanted to move to WordPress.com. I thought that should be the home of Do the Woo. And it would be perfect. And how am I going to do that? You know, that doesn't quite seem as simple as it may sound. And then I started thinking about how I'd like to simplify it and not have a page builder on it anymore and go to blocks. So the more things I thought, the more freaked out I got, basically. And I decided just to direct message Matt Mullenweg on Slack. And I've talked to him before and asked him to be on the podcast show, and he always responds. And so I just explained to him, this is my vision, and I just want to share it with you. I wasn't asking him anything, and just that I'm putting together resources to actually make this happen. And I just wanted to kind of keep you in the loop of my ideas and, you know, if you have any thoughts on it or anything. A couple of weeks went by and he just did this nice, simple message that said, I got you a team. What's the best email? And I'm like, oh. And then I entered Derek's and Katie's life, and I'm not sure if they lived to regret it or not.
Bob, just a quick question on that. What made you decide or envision going to WordPress.com versus, say, Pressable or any other of the WordPress hosts, major hosts?
Yeah, you know, I've been with a few different hosts, and that was mostly when I was doing things myself. And I'm getting to the point where I just wanted it simple. I don't care about testing plugins and seeing what works and doing this and that. I don't like to dabble around a lot when I don't need to. And I'd always have a WordPress.com account and play around in it. And it always seemed some, I don't know, it just seemed easier as I got less and less of a power user. I just wanted to be like everybody else creating content and the site runs itself. And that was a lot to it. And this is more personal than anything, that Do the Woo's home should be on WordPress.com. It just was a good feeling to me. You know, if I have a podcast this dedicated to Woo and WordPress, it should really live on WordPress.com. And I knew enough about WordPress.com to feel confident. So
awesome. Well, so now, Derek, we're going to start with you. When did you find out you'd be working on this project? And were you like, oh my gosh, there's not enough coffee in the world for this?
I was really excited for, actually, I enjoy being a part of the WordPress community and like to connect with other WordPress creators and feel a little bit more, I guess, in the know of the things that are going on. And the chance to work with Do the Woo and Bob was actually really appealing. We don't necessarily get, as a TAM or technical account manager, we don't necessarily get to self-select the things we want to work on, but we can maybe raise our hand if there's something we want to be a part of. And I saw this one as definitely an opportunity to, I enjoy the Gutenberg and block building era. And anytime there's an opportunity to take a site and reimagine it from a page builder, I think Do the Woo was on Beaver Builder before, anytime to rebuild that with blocks and in Gutenberg, I want to be a part of that. And I have a background in communications and content management. So Bob shared his vision for like expanding to multiple shows was really also really appealing to me because I felt like my experience and background could sort of match that goal that Bob had.
Cool. So what is your process for kicking off these? I mean, I'm assuming you do have a kickoff meeting with, say, Bob and find out what his vision for changes that he wanted were, correct? Or
yeah, we have a project lifecycle is one way to put it. We'll have a kickoff call. We'll have a bunch of discovery questions to try to capture Bob's goals, his audience, thoughts, you know, related to design and aesthetic. Anything you would think of as like an agency, we operate a lot like an agency in that regards. So we went through that process of asking all those questions of Bob, and then we delivered a project brief where we outlined everything that we talked about. We captured that in detailed sort of the timeline and the functionality and the features before moving on. Essentially, you know, once Bob settled on approving of the project brief, moved into the design phase from that point. And then it was like design, development, launch. So not to simplify it too much, but kicking it off with those discovery questions to really learn and understand what Bob's goal was for the site.
So now, Bob, you yourself built websites back in the day, right? So was it interesting being on the opposite side of the table of a website build, being the client?
One thing is, it's also interesting to be able to come up with an idea and say, hey, you know, is this possible without the restrictions of myself saying, no, it's not possible because I have no idea how to do it. You know, it was when we went through the process and everything impressed me. It was like I just kept getting more and more excited. And I thought, what better life than to have somebody handling all this and not have to worry about any of this and, you know, learn some things along the way and stuff. But it was absolutely amazing. And I just, you know, the further we got into it, and I would share something with Derek and, you know, he would take it to the team or they do their thing on their side and he'd come back and is like, whoa, you know, spot on. So it was a very fluid partnership.
Cool. Awesome. Well, and I want to dig in on the blocks, Derek, especially says you are fond to the Gutenberg block. So we're going to come back to that. But before that, Katie, tell us, when did you come on board on the project and what were you kind of coming in to do?
I came on about probably halfway through the project. We were in development when I came on board, and we typically pair up on projects at some point in the process, especially as they get to the more complicated development stages. Just having multiple project managers essentially on it allows us to be flexible if somebody goes out of town or gets pulled into something else more urgently, so we could really provide a seamless experience for our partners and keep projects moving forward. So I came in to give Derek a hand doing QA work and moving through that development stage, checking how the developer was moving along, flagging things in GitHub and helping things just keep going a little behind the scenes while Derek took really the more leadership role in managing the project.
Cool. And so how long was the project lifecycle on this particular one, Derek?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Do you remember when we started, Bob?
I believe we started in September of last year. Yeah, last year. And I think that was a time that we were just, going through the basics in the beginning.
And kickoff call was on July 5th.
July 5th.
Oh, July 5th. See, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I think we had the call and then maybe the project started kind of moving a bit and got on the schedule in September, or maybe I'm just totally delirious now and know what I'm talking about,
That sounds about right, yeah. Better part of a year probably. And especially when you're migrating from something like a page builder, I think that's, especially when Katie came on, one of the things that we spent a lot of time cleaning up, and Bob can attest to this, is there was some weird encoding errors where you had like characters in place of what should have been like apostrophes and commas and quotes and stuff like that. So the HTML cleanup was particularly challenging for this site. A lot of the other stuff went fairly smoothly, as much as a development project would go smoothly. Yeah. There's always things that you're going to come across. But I know that was one sticky point through a good portion of the project as we got closer to launching. And really after Bob did like a soft launch, right, where you had it live, but you weren't really promoting it as the new version of Do the Woo.
Yeah.
So now when you're working with a site that's existing like this one, where there is getting updates all the time, because goodness knows there's a podcast almost every day that comes out, so that website is always being updated. Did you write migration scripts to do the data migration so that you could do a final migration right before launch? Or was this more of a manual migration in this instance?
So yeah, a lot of the complex migrations will, thankfully I can lean on developers, Katie, and as, non-technical WordPress users, we get to just like write up what we want to have happen. And then it happens. So Bob kicks it up to us, saying, make this happen. And then we kick it to a developer and say, make it happen. But yeah, wrote some automated scripts. So generally we'll do like Delta migrations. And right before launch, there will be a subset of stuff that will have to be manual to try to match exactly what is coming. But generally also we will build in like a content freeze. So we'll say, okay, Bob, like this is the date you need to stop publishing a podcast because we're going to migrate everything. Make sure it's all up to date, and then we'll launch it, and then you can continue on with the new production site.
Now, Bob, did you have, I know you had lots of content, obviously. Were you heavy on users, or was that just something that came with the new website, allowing everyone to be able to update?
Yeah, we actually had a lot of the hosts in place, and they did all this magical work between user roles and building profiles. Well, you know the profiles for the hosts and connecting dots. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. And then I know for them throwing in the audio, the podcast part of it is another whole challenge. And I just, I think we had a couple little hiccups and brought in Castos because we left the hosting there. And they were pretty helpful with working with it. They spent some time in there.
So are you still using Castos in this setup in the new?
Yeah, I'm still using. And I think originally they thought about doing the feeds on WordPress.com, but it was, I can't remember. I think it was only set up for one feed and the multiple feed. Sound like it would be a nightmare. So
yeah, WordPress.com has podcasting, built in with core WordPress audio block and RSS feeds. But as soon as Bob was talking about, I have a network of podcasts. So the multiple shows lended itself to sticking with Castos. And sometimes we'll do that for projects too. We'll scope something for like an initial launch, and then say, hey, maybe like phase two or three of Do the Woo can be migrating all of your episodes to a different host. But Bob has been very happy with Castos and it works really well with the site. So some things you don't necessarily need to change.
Exactly. Kestos has a very good reputation out there, too, as being one of the top podcast feeds. So it's great.
And their support was great, too, as we had questions or issues that we ran into. Bob connected us with them, and we were able to work with them, too, on this project. And their team was great.
Fantastic. So now you did say, though, Derek, that in core of WordPress.com hosting, you do have support if someone has a, we'll call it a simpler podcast than Bob, who has like 9 versions of his, yes, that it's built into WordPress.com. So someone could actually set up a site on there and host their podcast in there as part of their hosting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's some, the automatic theme team has released a couple podcast styled themes as well. So if that's something you're looking to do to host a podcast and have a website for it, you can do it all through WordPress.com if you wanted to.
Cool. That's interesting. I'm going to have to check that out. We're spinning up a little test site.
Whether you're just starting to build that Woo shop for a client or looking to expand or scale an existing site, GoDaddy's e-commerce hosting solution is there for you and your projects. Expand a client store with access to thousands of extensions, or scale big time with conversion tools, multiple staff accounts, an integrated POS, marketplace integrations, and discounted shipping rates, plus a lot more. And if you continue to manage your site or you hand it over to the client, a single dashboard gives powerful tools such as online sales tracking and easy auto sync for all the store's inventory across the entire site. Plus, software, plugins, and extensions will be kept up to date, and regression and other testing is done continually to avoid site breakage. With that all said, keep your client sites humming along with e-commerce hosting from GoDaddy at GoDaddy.com. One of the things I wanted to have them touch on a bit is telling you more about the taxonomies. There was several of them created specifically for the hosts and shows, and even for the blog, we did a custom post type, and thought that'd be great to have Derek touch on a little bit.
That does seem backwards a little bit, but yeah, so one thing Bob wanted to leverage with WordPress.com was the Jetpack newsletters feature. So in order to use that, you have to have the default WordPress post type. It doesn't work with custom post types. So the podcast being the main content that Bob was going to be publishing on a consistent basis, having users be able to subscribe and get those in your email inbox, was something that was going to be another added bonus to moving the site over to WordPress.com, was having that feature.
And then I came along and said, oh, I want to add the blog back in.
Yeah.
This is how it works. They're probably thinking, oh.
That's the life of a content creator, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was the reason for a custom taxonomy for that blog versus just a category?
So the custom taxonomy, so one thing we tried to do with the podcast and all of the different shows was to make it more engaging and interactive. So when you go to Do the Woo right now and you land on an episode, you can see hosts and guests. And then when you're in there, you can click through and view each of those profiles. So you can really start to get a sense of like the network effect of Do the Woo within the site, to see like who's been on what episodes and who's hosting what shows. So to make it a little bit more dynamic, and doing that all through just the default post just help keep that a little bit cleaner as the podcast side of things. And then Bob saying, let's bring the blog back, and moving that out as a custom post type does sound like a little counterintuitive, but I think just the idea of keeping one thing I have always enjoyed about WordPress is the content management side of things, and that you can keep things isolated into their different categories and different buckets, and custom post types being a very specific way of doing that. So I think in Bob's scenario, that makes a lot of sense, because flip most sites where a blog is a default post and then you create a podcast as a custom post type. Since he's publishing podcasts more regularly, And that should be reaching the audience more often. Making that the default or the core posting experience just made a lot more sense.
Yeah. And so you used a block theme for this. Did you use an existing block theme that you modified, or did you create a block theme from scratch for this site?
This one, we actually did use one of those podcast-styled themes that I mentioned earlier, designed by the Automatic Themes team. And we reimagined that a little bit for Do the Woo, maintaining his branding and colors and custom fonts. So that was the core basis of it from a design perspective. But the thing that really enjoyed a lot is Bob's been messaging pretty recently about, hey, I want to reimagine the homepage. And it's like, okay, no problem, because you can do that, right? So how we launched the site doesn't really look much like it does now. If you go to the homepage on Do the Woo, you're going to see, you know, almost a collection of each of the shows with recent episodes. And Bob has more ideas of how he wants to, again, just keep reimagining and morphing the homepage to be a little bit more editorial. And I think that's, you know, the original Do the Woo site. I'd have to go back and look at the snapshots and the Internet Archive to see what it looked like. But it was just like, here's a blog feed, essentially, right? And we really wanted to feature like a recent episode, which was the design part of the core theme that we started with, and then make it so users could have a little bit more of a path to explore the site, I think would be one way to put it.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, people, when they land on the homepage, they don't understand the amount of content that's being pushed out. So I shared a couple ideas, and again, magic was performed. And I thought, this is exactly what I'm thinking of. And one of the things I did want to mention is I'm learning all this. You know, I sometimes poke around in there. If I think of a small change, the very first change I did, I thought was a small change. And I think I changed a permalink or something. And I messed up everything. And so I'm learning some of the things to do. And some of the small things I'll send in a support ticket and I'll ask. And they've been really good with sending back a video and saying, this is what we did, for if you want to do it next time. Because they probably know I can't break it if I see have the video.
I like that. I like that, Bob, that you're going to be breaking your site. I mean, you did build websites, you know. And I do see you got your map. It's on the supporters page here. So, Katie, were you involved in putting this map on here for him?
Yeah, I was involved with some of the mapping. We put together some taxonomies that for the, you know, sponsors, for hosts, for guests. And in those, they're associated with role types as well. And so they allow you to get a location for each of those individuals and sponsors and show up on that map. Pretty cool. Derek, maybe be a little more elaborate in that description.
I think you said it pretty well. The only thing we really needed to add into those profiles, if you will, for each of those taxonomies, which Castos kind of offered some of that stuff. So, you know, Bob's able to go in and put, you know, information about each of the hosts and guests, such as, you know, your name, your socials, and all that stuff, but then adding a location field, and that ties into the map. And I think I'd have to double check. It's either Leaflets or something. It's an open source map.
I believe it's like
builder tool. So part of that discovery, you know, call at the very beginning of the project, Bob just sharing, you know, what his vision was, just kind of emphasized a dynamic experience to way to connect everything together with the site. And a map is another way to enhance that. Just like each host and guest has an archive page, being able to see those people, you know, across the globe in the map and being able to click through that way. It's just another layer of experience for people to explore the Do the Woo community.
So I'm assuming, because this is a block theme, I'm assuming that you did use full site editing for this, right? So we're all FSE through this site. So now I know you work for Automatic, so you're probably going to say, no, not a problem at all. But I'm going to ask, like you or any other agency out there, did you experience any difficulties with the full site editing part? Did you find any things that you had to work around or you had to do something custom to fix?
I think with Bob's site, I don't think there was much custom functionality we wanted to build into, like the header or footer, because the design lent itself to be simple and clean. I know, like, one sticking point we would run into sometimes, and then just like myself as like a WordPress user, is something like a mega menu or a very specific design for a mobile menu. And that would be maybe where we probably did some custom work, and, you know, our developers did in theme, in the theme.json files. But for the most part, Bob was saying like, oh, send videos of how to do stuff. There were things that, like, you know, up to launch, like, hey, I want to adjust this on the episode page, or like, can we add this sponsor layout, or, you know, whatever. There were a lot of elements within the templates that myself and Katie were able to go in and edit on our own because of full site editing, and then showing Bob, hey, Bob, here's where you can edit this.
Nice.
So, I mean, I will always be a staunch advocate for a full site editing experience because of that. Now, great power comes great responsibility, right? There's having care to go in and know, like, what you're getting ready to change is going to impact possibly the entire site or maybe just this template. There's been a lot of advancements in the revision history and being able to roll things back, whether that's through just the site editing experience itself or with Jetpack backups. I feel like, as much as Bob thinks he's going to break something, you can get back, you know, to a point in time where things were working right, so you can course correct it. But yeah, in general, I've been, you know, don't feel like we ran into any blockers necessarily. And if anything, I think it unlocked a lot of editing experiences for ourselves and Bob to be able to do things a little bit more efficiently, because we could just go in and do it.
So now, Katie, you mentioned that you came on board because a lot of times you pair up, so you have multiple project managers on a project. About how many projects do you guys as project managers work on at a time?
Somewhere around 12 to 15 at a time, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to keep track of.
It is. And they vary in speed. You know, a lot of our partners that we work with, sometimes they're a single person operation. And so they'll go quiet on us for weeks at a time. And so while we do have an idea of what our timeline looks like, sometimes we'll just need to bump it to accommodate for our partners' real lives. And so it helps when we have that big project load. Some of them will be quiet for a while. So it's not like you're sending, you know, you're actively working all 15 of them at once. Two or three of them will be quiet here and there. And then there'll be one or two that are your hot potatoes that are in a very busy portion of the project. But that's about how many we run at a time per TAM.
Katie, is there like certain things you look for?
I would say a number of our projects do come to us the way yours did, which is through a Matt connection. And he will often send us interesting problems to solve sometimes, or it'll be just somebody who's already on a WordPress site that he's encountered in the wild, and that it has a site that's got great potential, and he sees ways that we could really improve it and showcase WordPress on that site. And then there'll be other projects that come to us through existing partners. You know, somebody we've worked with in the past will have a new idea, a new project they want to work on. And so they'll come to us that way as well. And it's fun for us because we get to try out, you know, the newest things on WordPress. We get to work within our own products at Automatic and dog food them and find issues in usability or bugs or things like that. And we'll surface them to our other teams around Automatic to improve our products through our process of building websites and being the ones who push the limits of what our products can do.
Yeah. Speaking of newest things, I met Matthias at CloudFest earlier this year. And Matthias is, for those of you that don't know him, he's the creator of the ActivityPub plugin, the Fediverse plugin. And we were having breakfast and we just ran into each other and was talking, and I was telling him about what we'd been working on at that site. And actually, I think that was the announcement I made it at CloudFest, the actual launch. So he said, we need to, you know, he said, get your site Fediversed up. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I understood the really simple concepts of it, but a lot of it I didn't. So he did come in and he did get the site Fediverse up. And I know that Derek and I probably both learned a lot, but maybe Derek learned more than me. I was trying to learn as much as I could. What were your thoughts about that whole experience, Derek?
Well, I think, again, I'm very goal-oriented for our partners and thinking about the content and what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I remember early on you talking about bringing comments back to the site. It's like, well, that's easy. That's core WordPress. And as things moved along and then you met Tyus, it was like, hey, what's a way we can make this even better? And so bringing Do the Woo into the Fediverse was another opportunity to cross-pollinate the conversation, more or less. And I definitely, I don't know if I learned much more than you, Bob, because it's still a web of things that I don't quite understand. And just when I thought I knew what was happening, I was corrected very quickly. It's like, no, that's not what it is at all. So having the ActivityPub plugin was another way to enhance some of those host roles. So if you're a host on the site and you have like a Mastodon profile that can be all connected, and one of the improvements or enhancements to the ActivityPub that was made during the project was being able to have the follow block for ActivityPub inherit the taxonomy on the page, or the author. Sorry, not the taxonomy. We're hoping that comes later, but the author. So if somebody posted on the site and you're on their author profile page, that follow block will inherit. So if you land on Bob and he's an author on the site, you can follow Bob. If you land on myself and you're on the site, it'll inherit and it'll say follow Derek instead of just the blog itself. So I think, yeah, creating those opportunities to just interact with the site in different ways, but have it come back. I know when we first launched, and Bob, we had that podcast episode talking about this, the first time there was a comment made on a Mastodon boost is what it's called, right? I think that's right. When an episode is published on WordPress, it gets boosted by Bob and Do the Woo on Mastodon. And then somebody comments on that on Mastodon, that feeds back into the comment thread on WordPress. And I was just like, okay, so that's what's happening. That's like, that just really kind of blew my mind that those conversations can take place in a completely isolated platform like Mastodon, but have it come back and be visible on your site. So the conversation isn't siloed. It's all collected in one spot.
That's cool. So, okay, I've got one more question for Derek or Katie. I'll let you pick who answers. And then Bob, I've got one final one for you. So Derek and Katie, the design process, when you are doing the designs, one, does your team use like Figma, or I'm assuming Figma, but if you use another tool? And then most importantly, do you design mobile first or desktop first?
I can answer this. Our team uses Figma, and we usually start with our desktop designs as they are more complicated. But before we move, as we start developing full page designs, we do develop mobile designs specifically as well. So we start at our desktop view and then.
Okay, the viewers can't see me, but I'm fist pumping that because we have still, I had my agency 22 years, we still design desktop first, even though a lot of agencies went to mobile first. And especially with something like what Bob's site is, it probably has 60%+ coming from mobile, but we design desktop down too. So that's interesting. Glad to hear that we're not the only ones still doing it that way. Because like you said, Katie, it is more complex. You have a lot more you can do.
Yeah. It also just, you know, how viewports work that determines the hierarchy of blocks and sections on the site to think about it as desktop first and then translate that to mobile.
Love it. Do you guys work on your media queries through the whole thing, or do you wait till the end and then start building down your media queries?
That one's more of a development. We'll do that in development more so than, you know, when we design, we do kind of plan what blocks we'll use, what specific elements we'll use. We do think about that, and our designers will often leave handoff notes for developers on what they intended for this space to be used for. Like, this is a query loop block, for example. But it is sort of applied within development.
Awesome. All right. And so, Bob, after this new site launched, what are the differences that you're seeing in your day-to-day life? Is it faster for you to keep things maintained and put new podcasts out there?
Yeah. Like I said, the page builder was good for the site and my workflow when I had it. But I am so in love with Full Site Editor and everything. I mean, creating content, the workflow is, I've got it down to an art now. And it gives me enough flexibility where if I have a page, or sometimes I'll duplicate a page and just tweak it a little bit. So it's improved that, and it's also not worrying about things. But being able to have the focus on content and not worry about that, because when it happens, you know, if there's something that actually is affecting something, it's often fixed quite quickly. And then, you know, other things I want to add. And that freedom of being able to say, hey, is this possible? Or is there a way to do this? And the one thing I've loved working with Derek, he's become, well, Derek's probably sometimes like thinking, is there any way to just mute Bob for a day or two or something? But he'll come back. He's been a sounding board for more than just the site. You know, I can come and say, you know, I have this idea and I'm thinking about doing this and I'm not sure. What do you think about these two ways? So he's been able to come back and give me some really good ideas that I can move, you know, because I never had anybody to ask that. I'd just be like, okay, Bob, what do you want to do? I want to do this. And I look at it, well, that sucks. So it's nice to have somebody giving me that feedback. So all those things combined has made life so much easier.
Well, and I think the new site looks amazing, guys. Y'all did a fantastic job. And I say guys in the plural there. I should say everybody there at the Special Projects team did a fantastic job on this. The site, I don't have to go back and look it up on the Wayback Machine because I remember that site. And this one is way, way better. So the site looks fantastic. And I can't wait to see what may come about in the next few years here, especially as full site editing is even more, gets more robust too.
Yeah. And we have a few more tweaks for the homepage. And in January, I'm launching, it's so weird, and I've told people, I have versions of the site that I have a change log and everything that I do. It's really nice, a change log, because it helps me remember when I did what. So I probably use it more than anybody. But so 4.2 will come out in January. It's our 7th anniversary too. So I'm hoping to have some fun stuff around that. And basically a culmination of several things we've been working on the last few months, kind of coming out all bunched together and exposed.
Cool. Well, Derek, Katie, will we see you at any of the events coming up this next year? I know that Special Projects sometimes talks at events about the projects that you have going on. So will either of you be at any of our upcoming events next year?
I won't be at any of the events this year, but I know other members of our team will be.
Yeah, we had two presentations at Showcase Day at WordCamp US this past year, and I'm hopeful to go to next year's WordCamp US, and we'll see. I don't know. There's a lot of other events. I mean, I'm like landlocked right in the middle of the US, which is a blessing and a curse. I'm accessible to any direction, but also every direction is a little bit far, being right in the middle of the US and Iowa. But there's a new event that's a little bit agency focused, or like a reimagining of Pressnomics, and it's PressConf. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to make that one because I just learned about it, but I think there's more unique opportunities to get around and see what's out there.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I always encourage people too, especially talking about these type of projects, going even outside of just the WordPress events themselves, going out to broader based PHP or business type conferences. It's always a nice thing. It gets the WordPress word out there a little further, and the woo word. Because it's all about do the woo, right?
Absolutely.
And I just want to thank them both, too. I mean, this has been an amazing experience. And I try not to be too much of a PIA. So I couldn't have asked for anything better. And I'm looking forward to, you know, other ideas and things. We have a few other things I'm thinking of. And they're always willing to kind of go on the cutting edge. I hate that term. It's very trite. But go on that, or if we're thinking of something that is, you know, my site's also a good kind of beta tester for them to try something and see how it works.
Cool. Well, Derek and Katie, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and telling us about this project that you took on to help Bob with his new site. And if people want to reach you, how could they reach you, Derek?
I mean, I have my own website, derekhanson.blog, and I spend most of my time on LinkedIn, but even that, not too much. You're not going to find me on X or Twitter or anything like that, but you can definitely find me on LinkedIn.
Okay, cool. And Katie?
Similarly, LinkedIn, Katie.McKenna. I am pretty low key on the internet.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, and if you've listened to this episode and found it interesting, I encourage you, please go and check out the Do the Woo website. Go poke around, you know, try and break it. And then Rob can then tell Derek and Derek can then tell somebody else and get it fixed.
Yep.
So please poke around and check it out. All right. And don't forget to listen up for the next episode of Do the Woo.